Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Behind the Binge. It is your host, Marissa. Today, you are going to hear all about a binge freedom hierarchy of needs, essentially how certain needs are contributing to your binge eating and why it's important to prioritize meeting certain needs before others, such as meeting your physical body's needs before your emotional ones. If you are someone who struggles with emotional eating and you just can't seem to get your emotional binges under control, this is definitely the episode for you. If you are somebody who has felt like they just know exactly what they need to do to stop binging, but you're not doing it, there's no motivation to do that, this is definitely the episode for you. Or even if you're someone who's just ditched dieting, you're trying to eat enough, eat consistently, and you're in a bit of a honeymoon phase and you're just lost on where to go next, this is also an episode for you. Did I basically just say that this is an episode for everybody who's struggling with binge eating? Maybe, but listen ahead if you are eager to know why there is a bit of a hierarchy of needs for your binge freedom journey. Before we dive into the meat of the content today, I want to remind you that Black Friday is going on right now for the Behind the Binge team. You can join Behind the Binge Academy right now for $300 off, plus get $300 in bonuses. That includes a pocket guide for you to take to all of your holiday family events so that you can navigate the diet talk that comes up, or any urges to binge that you may have. You also get exclusive access to a live training I'm doing just for my clients on December 1st about how to navigate food and body image over the holidays. And those are just the bonuses. You also get to enroll to my signature group coaching program that includes weekly group coaching calls, a variety of online modules and resources to guide your binge freedom journey, and a community to support you along the way, including myself, so you never feel alone on this journey again. This is all if you enroll before November 30th. This is a very extended and early Black Friday deal, so you don't want to miss out. I've never offered anything like this before, and there's already 5 amazing ladies inside ready to kick off their binge freedom journey with us in the new year. Head over to behindthebinge.com/behindthebingeacademy to enroll, or I will leave the link to get started in the show notes.
Welcome to Behind the Binge, the podcast where we bring forth much needed conversations about binge eating recovery and ditching diet culture. I'm your host, Marissa Kaimilik, a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and binge eating coach. This is our space to dive into practical tips to heal from binge eating, challenge your diet culture beliefs, discuss the nuances of intuitive eating, and empower you to recover. Let's start exploring what's behind the binge.
If in college you had to take a psychology 101 course, you're likely familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. But whether or not you're familiar with it, I want to brush you up a bit on what it means. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a motivational theory in psychology comprising of a 5-tier model of human needs, often depicted as hierarchical levels within a pyramid. So if you can envision a triangle right now, there are 5 categories of needs that are important as individuals to meet, to have satisfaction so that we can focus on fulfilling our higher life purpose, you might say. And needs that are lower down in the hierarchy at the bottom of the pyramid must be satisfied before we may feel the motivation to attend to needs higher up in the pyramid. Obviously, there are some flaws in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and we are not robots. We don't just live a life that's like A plus B equals C, but Maslow's hierarchy of needs can actually give us some insight into our own motivation and why in certain states we may not be able to attend to our emotional needs or our esteem needs or friendships, etc., because our body and our mind are working to keep us safe in other ways. I found using Maslow's hierarchy of needs really helpful in supporting my binge eating clients, and so I've tweaked it a little bit to better match the needs that my binge eating clients are facing and that I've faced in the past so that you can better support yourself in overcoming binge eating. So, envisioning this triangle, at the bottom, the most important need that you need to have met in order to stop binge eating are your physical needs, which essentially in this case means food, eating enough food. This is actually the exact same first basic need on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, those physiological needs of food, water, shelter, sleep, clothing, etc. And in the case of what might be contributing to binge eating, if you are not eating enough food, that is a really basic need that is being ignored that can be overcompensated for with a binge. Really, a binge is a way your body is seeking to keep you safe. And in this case, your body would be seeking to keep you safe from a famine. This may be why you feel as though you know exactly what you need to do to de-stress when you get home from work so you don't binge, and you just can't do it. You still always go for the food. It's not that you don't have enough willpower or that you don't have the resources or the motivation to get done what you want to get done in order to de-stress. It's that your body is in a state of stress because it is hungry, and you have to eat enough if you want to really de-stress, if you want to be able to meet your emotional needs without a fight. As long as you are hungry, whether or not you feel it in your stomach or not, as long as your body is hungry, your body will always choose food over anything else you may have lined up on your schedule. So really, your priority at the beginning of your binge freedom journey should always, always, always be to make sure you're eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner plus snacks consistently so that you can make sure you're meeting that basic need of food. I'm sure you all can relate to that feeling of being hangry, where you are so hungry that it's hard to take control of your emotions. Actually, last night, both my partner Christian and I experienced this together, where we were making pizza at home. We were both already really hungry. Neither of us wanted to cook because we were also exhausted, but we decided to make homemade pizzas. And at first, our pizza stone started smoking. The entire place was smoky. The fire alarm went off. We were getting frustrated. We put that outside. And then he continued to keep making the pizzas. Then by the time it was done, he made a little comment under his breath. I made a little comment under my breath. And we were both just feeling really annoyed. And then we started eating. And about halfway through our meal, we both just started laughing. And we were like, wow, we were just cranky because we're tired and we're hungry. Sorry for being annoyed with you. I'm sorry for making little comments under our breath. But really, we couldn't even try to cope with the emotional tension in the room in that moment without having eaten first. And it's really hard for us to try to jump ahead, to try to work on something emotional if we're not even giving ourselves enough energy from food to be able to properly manage our emotions in the first place. And you'd be surprised how your emotions can sort of resolve themselves when you are adequately fed. So to wrap up that first bottom tier on this binge freedom hierarchy of needs, make sure you are eating enough food. The second tier next up on our priorities would be meeting our needs of safety and security. And again, this is really similar to what you'd find on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but in this case, we're talking about safety and security with food. Some of this may be out of your control. If you are someone living in a food desert or living with food insecurity, you may be doing the best you can to create safe and secure access and unconditional ability to have enough food around you. But there may only be so much you can do in this case. Just know that when talking about safety and security with food, you might be dealing with physical safety and security with food rather than mental safety and security with food, which we are going to be talking about in a second. So if that's you, disregard what we're talking about when it comes to unconditional permission to eat and prioritize creating as much safety and security when it comes to access to food as you can, which may mean prioritizing shelf-stable foods. Eating enough, obviously, that lowest tier on the hierarchy of needs is the most important, and trying to get that in the easiest and most affordable, most accessible way possible to you. This is a really individual and personal thing to be facing, so do the best that you can for you and give yourself a hell of a lot of grace along the way. But otherwise, with meeting our safety and security needs with food, it really means adopting unconditional permission to eat. Having conditional permission to eat means limiting your food, by portion size or the types of food you're allowed to eat or the ways in which you're allowed to eat, meaning maybe you can eat what you want, but not after 7 p.m. Those conditions are unsafe. It sounds silly logically, but really, our body doesn't like to feel as though if we needed something, it would be inaccessible to us. That's why when we finally do have access or permission to eat something we wouldn't normally allow, it feels like it's all or nothing. It's now or never, and you stuff your face just in case there's going to be limited access again in the future. This is really the way our body and our brain seeks to keep us safe from perceived danger of inadequate access to something, even if it's something we may not see as being a necessity. It is so important for our body and our mind to feel safe and secure with food, which means that we can't have insecurity with food, both with food fears and with keeping certain foods off limits. Again, in this case, we're talking about mental insecurity with food, not physical food insecurity. So to make sure that we have our safety and security needs met to overcome binge eating, we have to adopt unconditional permission to eat, which means breaking our food fears, which means creating a habituation with our food fears that we've maybe kept off limits for some time, which means eating not only consistently, eating not only our fear foods, but doing so both consistently and reliably. So that way there's no question if another meal is around the corner. There's no question if we'll be allowed to have Oreos tomorrow. It just is. We're allowed to. And from there, we can listen to our body on if we want some, if we need some, or if we do decide to have some, we can listen to our body to know when we've had just enough. There's often a fear with unconditional permission to eat that it's a free-for-all and we're just going to be eating everything and anything we can until we're absolutely uncomfortably full, but that's not the case. Feeling safe and secure with food just means that you know it's there. You have permission to eat it if you want it, if you need it, but you are going to listen to your body ultimately as an intuitive eater to make the decision on if that is what you're going to have and how much of it you're going to have. Unconditional permission to eat is not about acting on impulse. It's just permission. Like right now, I have full unconditional permission to drive to Starbucks right now and get a drink if I wanted to. But I also know that in my body, I don't really feel like having coffee right now. So I'm not going to just drive there because I have permission to do so. I also know logically that it's after 4 p.m. for me here right now. And if I had a coffee, I would probably be up really late at night. And I don't really want to do that. I also know that I don't want to spend money on coffee right now. I'd rather save that money for something else. As you can see, there's a lot that goes into making a decision on what you want to do or what you are going to eat or drink or whatever. But I still have permission to do that if that is the thing that I needed or wanted right now. So to wrap up this second tier on the hierarchy of needs, safety and security, make sure you are practicing unconditional permission to eat and practicing so consistently. Okay, moving up on the tiers, once you're eating enough consistently and you're practicing breaking food rules so that you can have unconditional permission to eat and create a safe and secure environment with food, then you may be ready to really address emotional coping. Now, I guess I should have said this at the beginning, but even though this is a hierarchy of needs, doesn't mean that you're not working on coping with emotions without always using food, even in the early stages of your binge eating recovery. It's just to say that no matter how much emotional coping you try to do, if you're not also working on those first two tiers, there's only so far you can go. Because like the hanger example, if we are chronically under eating, we're still going to be dysregulated with our emotions, no matter how many meditations we do. I digress. Anyway, once you're sort of really actively, consistently working on those first two tiers, you may be seeing more growth in the emotional coping area, which is the third tier on this hierarchy of needs. In this tier, you might find yourself more so exploring how to actually feel your feelings, not only how to feel them, but to identify them. Figure out where they come up in your body. What are the things that activate your certain emotions? And what needs are not being met in those emotional situations? So what emotional needs can we attune to? Are you needing comfort? Are you needing independence? Are you needing confidence? Are you needing companionship, etc.? So a lot of times we think of emotional coping just as the meditation or going for a walk, etc. But it's also about learning how to get in tune with your feelings, how to identify them, how to name them, how to connect with them so that you can heal through them rather than avoiding them, which is usually when we may find ourselves turning to food. So if you're just starting your journey and you're trying to jump to working on emotional coping, you might find it incredibly difficult if you don't work on those earlier tiers. So again, this is just a reminder that if you're not eating enough and if you don't feel like you have unconditional permission to eat, there's only so much you can do to cope with your emotions without using food, because in those times where you'd want to turn to food, you're in a much more vulnerable state and your body's likely going to go in that fight or flight mode to get whatever needs it can get met in that exact moment, which is likely going to result in a binge. And my last tier, I only have four tiers, but my last tier on this hierarchy of needs is empathy and curiosity. I believe this is the most important need when it comes to sustaining recovery and not relapsing. The thing that will derail your recovery the most is judgment. When you overeat in an instance and you think, oh, darn it, why did I do that? I can't believe it, etc. Versus being like, oh, okay, I maybe wasn't listening to my body. Maybe I needed a little extra food today. What was going on? And really being curious to what might not have been met in that moment that led to the overeating. Also, the empathy of understanding that you're not alone. It's okay. It happens sometimes. You're human, and humans do things that are less than ideal sometimes, and that's okay, and it's going to happen. I know that it's empathy and curiosity that have kept me binge-free for so long. I'm a human being. I overeat. There are times I don't listen to my body. There are times I act on impulse instead of on intuition. There are times I have cravings where I just want fried foods and sweets and ice cream and so on and so forth. And it happens, and it's okay. And if judgment got in the way there and shame, maybe it would transpire to a binge. But with empathy and curiosity, I'm able to learn more about my body, learn more about my needs, learn more about my emotions, and be better able to take care of myself in those moments and move on without it spiraling into something that it doesn't need to be. The biggest gift you can give yourself all along your whole entire binge freedom and intuitive eating journey is the gift of empathy. We all need a little more empathy in our lives, especially for our own flaws. Because you're human. We're human. We're human beings. We're not going to be perfect, and we can't expect that of ourselves. Okay, in summary, the binge freedom hierarchy of needs starts at the bottom level with our physical needs, eating enough food, making sure we are having adequate intake of food, and also adequate intake of all food groups. Number two, the next tier up, safety and security with food, meaning permission to eat plus consistency, making sure that we're creating a reliable and trustworthy environment with food. Number three, emotional coping, building that attunement and connection to our emotions and our emotional needs so that we can meet those needs without always using food. And number four, empathy and curiosity, being able to create an empathetic and understanding environment where we can rid ourselves of the judgment and shame that keeps us stuck. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. If you liked it, don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. It is so, so helpful in helping this podcast get out to other listeners and helping it connect with others who really need it. If you are looking for more support in your binge eating journey, head over to behindthebinge.com and join Behind the Binge Academy. It is my signature group coaching program designed to help you overcome binge eating and cultivate a healthful life intuitively where you never have to diet again. Right now, for Black Friday, you get $600 in savings from $300 off the enrollment price plus $300 in bonuses. To learn all about it, click the link in the show notes or head to behindthebinge.com/behindthebingeacademy. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week. Have a wonderful holiday coming up, and I will catch you in the next episode. Bye, everyone.